Our gospel reading tells us of a strange occurrence at the end of his gospel. When Peter saw him, asked, "Lord, what about this man? Is he the one that will betray you?" And Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." This is a strange occurrence because it did look for a great period of time that St. John would be the one that was left until the Lord came again. All of his fellow brothers in the faith died at the hands of evil men as martyrs. But John, legend has it, was left until the last and died, unlike his brothers, all 11, died a natural death. Now John bears witness. That is his character. But a lot of people think of his character more in terms of the beloved disciple, the one in Da Vinci's Lord's Supper, where he is leaning against his Savior, somewhat young, effeminate, maybe. And that's not the John that we get from the Gospels, nor is it the John we get from his epistles, and especially from his revelation. The John we receive there is an apostle of the first class, an apostle called Son of Thunder, a great and mighty preacher. Indeed, after his time of exile on the island of Patmos, when our Lord revealed to him this revelation, the apocalypse, John became the archbishop of those 10 churches. Indeed, he probably already was. And he continued in that office preaching in those churches great and powerful things, all from his memory, having been the youngest of the apostles, likely, having seen all those things and living long into the first and second century, perhaps even to the age of 125. And in all those things, his life's mission was to be one of the sent ones, the apostles, the one going, teaching and preaching and baptizing. And he was given that special gift, the special gift of testimony, writing for us that high and lofty tome, the Gospel of John, the Gospel which tells us of Jesus being the bread of life, come down from heaven, being the light of the world, doing those 7 great wondrous signs that we will hear of through our Lord's season of Epiphany, turning water into wine, healing the sick, raising the dead. All these signs are given to us as testimonies of who Jesus is and who he was and who he will be when he comes again. And that is John's message. It is one of testimony, one given to a servant of the things that will take place, the things that are happening even now, the great tribulation. He did this in order that we would hear and learn and inwardly digest, and that those testimonies of John would be a light to our path, as we just sang. A testimony of Jesus Christ to all that John saw in Jesus. And they are a great blessing to us as we dwell upon them, meditate upon them, hear those words of Scripture read aloud. When we hear them and keep what is written in them, we are blessed. We will be preserved until the time when he does come again. When we see that same vision that John received in his apocalypse of throne and of heaven, of streets paved with diamonds, of angels and saints surrounding the throne, singing a great song, "Glory to God in the highest." And that is why John says that in these words we have peace. For as he says in the beginning of his gospel, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is Jesus Christ. In the Word, preached and heard and taught, we have peace. We have who is to come, who has come. That is our Lord, the Christ child, born in the manger, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of kings of this earth, the one whose blood, which is first shed at his circumcision and continues to be shed as he sweats those sweats of blood in the garden, and finally on the cross when his hands are pierced, his feet and his side comes forth blood and water, John says. Blood that washes us white, gives us white garments, baptismal garments, to stand before the throne there in heaven, to be with our Lord and Savior, who has glory and dominion and power forever and ever. And we too, with him, are glorified, given great dominion again over the new heavens and earth, and power forever and ever, power to be sons of God. But how can we know this unless we have heard? And thus John, again, is the great testifier, an evangelist, a prophet. And he says, this is what I have seen, this is what I have heard, this is what I have believed and looked upon and touched with my own hands. And now I give it to you. That is what it means to be an apostle, to hand over the testimony, to be sent with that testimony, and to give it in order that others would have light and life, and to be with the Father. For where that word is preached, even amongst two or three or six, as this may be, we have fellowship. Indeed, we are brought into fellowship with the Father, who gave us that word, his Son, Jesus Christ. And when we hear these things, we believe and we know what he has done for us, and our joy is complete. But it isn't always just a message of joy. It is also a message of sin and of sorrow and of grief and even of death. But in the midst of that darkness, John speaks with light, with Jesus, who banishes the darkness, who brings life and immortality to light, who gives us the truth, the shining, bright witness of the truth that cleanses us from unrighteousness, forgives our sins, makes us again like little children, born again of word and of spirit. Of course, all through Jesus, the one who is the propitiation for our sins, the one who has given his blood for us, sprinkles it even from his altar upon us to mark us as his children, washed and redeemed in him. So while John did not die the martyr's death like St. Stephen, as we heard of yesterday, at least likely did not, he bore witness to the truth with word. And that word is a great and wonderful blessing to us, as much as a martyr's death, for it guides our path. It leads us to the way of righteousness, and it shows our before our eyes the face of our very Savior, the one born in the manger, the Christmas gift. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.